Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 795, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary and the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast. Well, you don't have to do that. Just set it down flat right here. Bring it, push it up some more. As we continue, ladies and gentlemen, the aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, the church, it is my humble prayer, by the grace of God, would be revived and the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who preached it first and best, who is the gospel, who said the most loving, most important, and most wonderful words ever said to mankind, when he said to the world some 2,000 years ago, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, dear friend, if you're with us today, and you are not saved, you're not a believer in Christ, get your soul saved from hell today. Understand, first of all, the fact that you are a sinner. So first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned against God, dear friend. Here are just a few of the commandments that you and I have broken if you are of age. Have you ever told a lie? You're guilty. Just one lie would cause you to go to hell in God's economy. Have you ever stolen anything of any value? If you took something from your father or mother without permission, you are a thief. Have you ever lusted in your heart or coveted in your heart after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored, disobeyed, or disrespected your parents? In any way? Have you dishonored God by taking His name in vain, with cursing or lying on His name? That's just five of God's Ten Commandments. And so you are guilty, I am guilty, the Pope is guilty, the Dalai Lama is guilty, and even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, is guilty of sin. We have all sinned against God. The Bible says all have sinned against God and come short of His glory. Second, I want you to understand and accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. One day, you and I, the Pope, the Dalai Lama, Joel Osteen, everybody, we will die. And we die because of sin. We don't die because of the coronavirus. We don't die because of cancer. We don't die because of cardiac arrest. We die because of S-I-N, sin. Our bodies will go to a grave, and our eternal souls will go to eternal death in that awful place of torment called hell. In fact, dear friend, if you died right now and you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will open your eyes in the torments of hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, any writer in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Why? Because He loves us. And He is warning us of that awful place called hell and wooing us to believe in Him, the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, who suffered, who bled, and who died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God, showing that He is God. Another name for Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. The question is today, do you know Him? Have you believed in Him? Have you trusted Him as Savior? Have you believed in your heart a fact that you need to believe, and that is, you need to understand the reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a holy, sinless life, never committed one sin in word, thought, or deed. And did good for people He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Somebody said Jesus Christ never went really to a funeral. He went to a resurrection. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, as they were called back then. One time he walked on the water to get to a boat. And he walked on water like we walk on the ground, because he is God. He is the Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, he's God. He got caught in a storm one day and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds stopped howling and the waves set down, because he is the God-man, Jesus Christ. He went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth," proving that he is God, because he raised the dead. Before he was raised from the dead, he raised folk from the dead. He is someone very special. And since he did all of that, I would advise you to get to know him as your Lord and Savior. And he invites you to believe in him. Salvation is not hard. Salvation is not difficult. It was hard and difficult for God and for Jesus, but it is not hard for you and for me. They made it very simple. Yes, they made it very easy. But I do want you to understand what you're getting saved from. So thirdly, dear friend, understand and accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, as he preached more on hell than anybody else, he said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Do you see the seriousness of hell? Hell is no joke, contrary to the stupid jokes that people make about hell, saying that they're going to go to hell and party with their friends and other such foolishness. That will not be happening. Hell is such a bad place. Jesus Christ said, "Is you'll be better off if sin and darkness is keeping you away from believing in Jesus Christ, you'll be better off amputating your hand and your foot, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and go to heaven on crutches or in a wheelchair, than to go to hell with both hands and both feet." That's how serious hell is. You do what you want to do, but this is the situation. So hell is bad news. Hell is serious, and hell is no joke. Hell is sad news, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said, the most loving, most important, most wonderful words ever said to mankind in the history of the world when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice how simple and easy it is to get saved. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever." The word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. That includes you. Red, yellow, black, or white, makes no difference who you are. We're all on level ground at the cross. Then notice the next word, "believeth in him." Whosoever believeth in him. In him who? Jesus Christ. The word "believeth" simply means to trust, to have faith in Jesus Christ. And notice what happens as soon as you believe in Jesus Christ. Your destination changes. Jesus said you should not perish. That means you will not go to hell, to perish there forever, but have everlasting life. Your destination changes from hell to heaven by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. So believe in him today in your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 13 tells us very clearly that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the eternal burning hell. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He described hell in another place. He said that hell is a place right now of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My dear friend, I would believe the words of Jesus Christ if I were you. There's no such thing as a purgatory or a limbo or some kind of vestibule or in-between place. That's not in the Bible. That's apocryphal material. There's no basis for it. Everybody who dies not believing in Jesus Christ, rejecting Jesus Christ, will go to the torments of hell immediately and eventually to the lake of fire. Don't be in that number. You don't have to be. Simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God for the whole world. See, the word Passover means that he will pass over you and he will spare you from going to hell. Others will suffer and go to hell, but you will not. And he has taken away your sin. In other words, he has paid your sin debt. He has satisfied God's justice. Because God is a holy God, he cannot overlook sin. He can't. He would not be God. And he is God, and he will be God. You must understand, he cannot let sin go by. He can't. He just can't do it. Somebody has got to pay for sin. And God has provided a way so that you can go free and go to heaven and not hell, which you deserve, by simply believing in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, he's God. Believe in him today, my dear friend. Wherever you are in the world, thousands have believed this gospel. and have gotten their soul saved, why not you? Red, yellow, black, or white makes no difference. What you have done, what you're doing, who you did it with, just confess your sins and admit your sins and ask God to forgive you because you're believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He'll save you. And I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and who ascended back into heaven, witnessed by many. This is a biblical fact and a historical fact. Many witnesses saw Him after He rose from the dead, and many witnesses saw Him go up into heaven, and He was seated at the right hand of God, and He's coming back one day. Let Him come back for you too. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Believe it in your heart. Be sincere, or don't pray it at all. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have done some bad things in your sight. I've sinned against you and your commandments. I have broken your Ten Commandments, as the preacher pointed out. And I am guilty, and I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God, who has suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt that I owe through His precious blood. Lord, Father God, I believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from this day forward from my evil lifestyle and my evil life. And help me to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day for our sins by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free book, a free download. You can be reading in 1 minute, and that book will tell you the next steps that you need to take to grow in the faith and be the strong Christian disciple that God wants you to be. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow and be the strong Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. So, dear friends, at this point, we're going to continue the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, already in progress. It's very hard for me to resist preaching the gospel at this point, because how this particular podcast, the Scripture in a Sense, brings up the subject of the wrath of God coming upon this earth and the eternal burning hell. And when I mention that, something goes off on the inside of me that leads me to preach the gospel to you in case we die, or in case the rapture takes place before I get to the end. So today, beloved, we are reading Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. Before we read Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2, let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, thank you so much for allowing me the privilege and the honor to preach and to proclaim your holy gospel. And Lord, I know from your holy word and from experience that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We still pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through the preaching of your holy gospel. We thank you for the many that have been saved, that have written back and told us, and the many who have written back and told us spontaneously that they have returned to you and have rededicated their lives, which we don't even give that invitation. And so what a blessing that is. And so, Holy Father God, thank you for my life's verse, that you made my life's verse. I didn't make it my life's verse. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Receive every ounce of glory, praise, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be dead to this world. And thank you, Lord. By being dead, I have no desire for any of your glory or your praise. All of it is due your name. And so, Holy Father God, with that, I do pray that your Holy Ghost would go with your holy gospel and not give millions of people rest until they come to know you as Savior. I know that you're able to do it. I know that many are not willing, but I do know that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I know that all things are possible with you, and I also know that you're not willing that any should perish. We preached on that last night, and the reason why you are tarrying is for one reason, because you want everybody to hear the gospel and be saved. Lord, give us your heart and help us to get back to the old-fashioned obedience to the great commandment and the great commission. Fire us up again. Revive us again like never before. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Verse 2, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Dear friends, that was Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. Now here is the sense of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. if you would, this solemn warning not to repeat the errors of their fathers was intended to destroy any false security that Zechariah's contemporaries might develop in view of the great things God intended to do for Israel in the future. This warning for the present, which emphasized divine anger and extended divine grace, drew its severity from a threefold lesson from the past: a warning against disobedience, a warning against delay, and a warning against doubt. Zechariah affirmed that the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile experienced by the previous generations were an expression of divine anger. In fact, the Lord was very angry, a phrase indicating extreme displeasure. The Lord, who had entered into personal covenant relationship with the nation Israel, was intensely angry with their forefathers, especially the last generation before the captivity, because of their rebellion, their sin, their evil against him. And may I say to you, I believe God is extremely angry with the church today, his people today. He loves them. He loves the church. But he's angry because we've done worse, I say worse, than that generation. God have mercy on our souls. God has already taken out many pastors and bishops and people in the church. And if we don't repent, he will take out many more in a worse plague.